The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter number 9, text number 49, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on December 20th, 2013 in North Sydney, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Na Veda Kripana Shreya Admana Guna Vastudrik Tan Ichata Yachchet Yadi Sa Api Tata Vidha. Na Veda Kripana Shreya Atmano Gunavastudrik Tasyatan Nichato Yachched Yadi Sopi Tata Vidha. Na Veda Kripana Shreya Atmano Gunavastudrik Tashyatan nichito yachched Yadi sopi tata vidha. Na, not Veda knows Kripana, a miserly living entity. Shreya, the ultimate necessity, Atmanaha, of the soul, Gunavastadrik, who is attracted by the creation of the modes of material nature. Tasya, of him, Tan, things created by the material energy. Ichata, desiring. Yachchet, one bestows. Yadi, if. Sa api, he also. Tata vidha, of the kind. A foolish Kripana, who does not know his real self-interest. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Those who think material assets to be everything or to be the ultimate goal of life are called misers, kripanas. They do not know the ultimate necessity of the soul. Moreover, if one awards that which is desired by such fools, he must also be considered foolish. Purport. There are two classes of men, namely the Kripana and the Brahmana. A Brahmana is one who knows Brahman, the absolute truth, and thus knows his real interest. A Kripana, however, is one who has a material, bodily concept of life. Not knowing how to utilize his human or demigod life, a Kripana is attracted by things created by the material modes of nature. The Kripanas who always desire material benefits are foolish, whereas Brahmanas who always desire spiritual benefits are intelligent. If a Kripana, not knowing his self-interest, foolishly asks for something material, one who awards it to him is also foolish. Krishna, however, is not a foolish person. He is supremely intelligent. If someone comes to Krishna asking for material benefits, Krishna does not award him the material things he desires. Instead, the Lord gives him intelligence so that he will forget his material desires and become attached to the Lord's lotus feet. In such cases, although the Kripana offers prayers to Lord Krishna for material things, the Lord takes away whatever material possessions the Kripana has and gives him the chance of the sense to become a devotee. As stated by the Lord in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22:39, Ami vigya e murke vishaya kini diba svat charanamrita diya vishaya bulaiba. Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. If one sincerely prays to God for material possessions in exchange for devotional service, the Lord, who is not foolish like an unintelligent devotee, shows him special favor by taking away whatever material possessions he has and gradually giving him the intelligence to be satisfied only by rendering service to his lotus feet. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments in this regard that if a foolish child requests his mother to give him poison, the mother, being intelligent, will certainly not give him poison, even though he requests it. A materialist does not know that to accept material possessions means to accept poison or the repetition of birth and death. An intelligent person, a brahmana, aspires for liberation from material bondage. That is the real self-interest of a human being. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapadukamanam Shri Gudun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganitan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhuta Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesu Shunyavadi Paschacha Desha Tarane. So, we have material needs in Krishna's service. We need a place to sleep, we need food to eat, some clothes to wear. We need material facilities. So is it wrong to ask Krishna for material facilities? Yes, it is wrong. It means you don't trust him. When you were a kid growing up, did you ask your parents, Mommy and Daddy, will you feed me today? Did you ever ask your parents? Like, so you think Krishna is some incompetent person? Less competent than your parents? Do you have to ask for this and that for your service? Is it? This is actually a very good warning here. If you ask for material things, they're going to have everything taken away. So don't ask. Just trust Krishna. Is it? Just trust him. The fact is, as guaranteed in Bhagavad Gita 9:22, ananyaschintayantamang yejana paryapasate tesham nichabhyuktanam yogache mam vaham yaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve whatever they have, and I carry whatever they lack. So Krishna will supply everything. Automatically, as a loving parent, he will give you everything you need. So you got to trust him. That trust is a very important thing. If you don't trust Krishna, he's not going to trust you either. You understand? we're not showing we're in a reliable devotional mood if we don't trust Krishna to take care of us. The more you have faith in Krishna, the more he'll trust us. The more he'll bless us. So we should have that faith in Krishna. Otherwise, if we're coming to him begging, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. He will take away everything so that we have nothing except to take shelter of his lotus feet. So the smart thing is, just take shelter of his lotus feet right off the bat. Why wait everything ripped away? Just say, okay, Krishna, nothing I have is mine, everything is yours. Everything is for you. Just whatever you want to do with me, here I am. You just engage me forever and whatever you want me to do. Just immediately come to that position. And then Krishna will give you more facility. He won't take things away. He'll give you more facility. How much facility he gave Prabhupada? So much facility, because Prabhupada wasn't demanding, give me this, give me that. You see. Prabhupada said, just give me service, give me service, give me service, give me service. So if we take that mood, that I simply want to be purely engaged serving Krishna without any material desires, then Krishna will give us unlimited facility. Krishna gave us the whole world. Actually, I remember one letter to Mahakrishna Goswami. There was some correspondence he had with Prabhupada. Prabhupada's point was, Krishna can give you all of America immediately. What will you do with it? In other words, Krishna will give us only as much material facility as we're capable of engaging in his service. So the more you become capable to serve Krishna, he will give you more facility, more facility, more facility, you see. As Prabhupada was given so much facility, so many men, so much money, so many buildings, so many projects. He was given because he was fully competent to engage everything in Krishna's service and not to engage anything in sense gratification. So similarly, the more that we become purified, free of these nonsense, disgusting desires for material sense gratification. Is it? Krishna will give us more facility. More facility. Our desire is to make the whole world Krishna conscious. So we need a lot of facility to do that. But are we competent to handle that facility? You see? Are we competent? That's the question. Are we competent? Or we still have so many desires to enjoy this material world? You see? So actually, for the sake of the conditioned souls getting Krishna consciousness, we should become pure. Because the more we are pure, the more we have facility to spread this movement. Therefore, for no other reason, out of compassion upon the poor souls who are out there completely entrapped by the material energy, we should become more purified for their benefit. Of course, automatically we benefit too. But if for no other reason, so we become more potent than kirtan warriors, we have to cultivate our own purity. Prabhupada always said, physician, heal thyself. You see. We want to purify the world, so hey, are we part of the world? What about all the inertia sitting in our hearts? You see. Prabhupada made a very interesting point in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Every time I remember this point, it's actually astounding point. He says that a devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord without any offense becomes Jagadguru. and under his influence, the whole world will take up Krishna consciousness. Wow. That's pretty amazing. So what does that mean? I'm not making the whole world Krishna conscious. What does that mean? It means I got so many namaparads. I can see that Sankarshan Das Adhikari has not made the whole world Krishna conscious. Therefore, I can understand why I have so many impurities sitting in my arm. Because Prabhupada said, a devotee who is completely free from all offense, under his influence, the whole world will take up Krishna consciousness. So this is a very important point. And one becomes potent as a preacher to whatever extent they have conquered the anarthas within the heart. So we have to take this part of our day, very important part of the day, the morning program. Especially that morning program, where you see we're trying to tune in Krishna, tune out of Maya. Get all that Maya, all that lust, that anger, that greed, that madness, that illusion, that envy. Get it out. Just get that damn nonsense out of our consciousness. And really be in the mood of surrender to Krishna. My Lord, I'm your puppet. Please pull my strings. And that's it. No other desire. You see, try to be in that mood. Completely go deep, deep, deep into that mood of pure bhakti as far as we can go. Every day, every morning. You see? Purify the intellect, purify the senses, purify the consciousness. So we can actually become fit instruments in the hands of Srila Prabhupada, in the hands of our spiritual masters, in the hands of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Fit instruments, you see. Not like broken instruments or damaged instruments. It's like sometimes we land at the airports and you get those luggage carts. Sometimes you get one that has a bad wheel, you know, you push it, it goes ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. So you want one with smooth wheels so you can easily get to your destination. You don't want one with a wheel that goes ka-chunk, 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 chunk, 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 like that. So right now we're kind of like luggage carts with broken wheels, you know. So how much we can be, how well we can be utilized by our spiritual masters, by Srila Prabhupada, you see, because we got these broken wheels, this lust, anger, madness, greed, envy. So we got to do, we got to clean, gotta do some house cleaning. Got to get ourselves properly fixed up in Krishna consciousness, so then we can really be suitable instruments for Lord Chaitanya to utilize for spreading his Sankirtan movement. Suitable instruments. So we have to really be serious in that way, you see. By understanding fully well what is the meaning of this purport and actually adopting this move. Of not having, not in any way begging Krishna. I know in my own life I've been tormented by a disease of the ears since I was a 16-year-old kid. Now I'm 66. Well, not me, you know, the body. 50 years of hell I've gone through with these damaged ears. 50 years of hell. So I could say, oh, Krishna, please heal me. Please heal me. Please heal me. You see? But I realized, hey, maybe there's a reason I'm suffering. Krishna wants me to suffer this for some reason, to purify me. So why should I ask Krishna to heal me? Krishna, just please bless me. Please heal me from ahankara, you see. That's the prayer. Not please help me, give me some money, or please cure my ear disease. No. Please just cure this nonsense, independent attitude I've had for millions of lifetimes, you see. In other words, we should just pray for pure devotional service. That's how you become peaceful in your mind. If you start praying for this and that and this and that, We see what happens in this verse, in this purport today. If you start praying for this and that, Krishna will take away whatever little facility you have, will take even that away. Well, Krishna, I want this, I want more of this and more of that, and then whatever you do have now, you leave and lose that. Krishna, give me more money, and then whatever money I do have, I'll even lose that. You see what I'm saying? We may pray to advance materially, but that prayer, which is not proper, we will go backwards materially. It could even be worse. So therefore, the intelligent thing is don't pray for any material benefit. Just pray for pure devotional service. That prayer for pure devotional service, which is most potently manifest in the form of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, will bring everything desirable to your life, spiritually and materially. Everything desirable. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, simply in the mood to awaken pure love of God within the heart. So we have a few minutes left, and I can ask now if there's any questions. Be happy to try to answer them. In writing is easier because of my ear disease. Somebody has it written on a piece of paper. We'll start off with that. Okay. Krishna gives us an opportunity for service. But often it is not something we want to do out of laziness. I do not engage my energy in these services because they are not according to my tasks, how to overcome this obstacle and come to the Dharma, taking service more and more enthusiastically. In other words, I might be given a service that I don't really want to do. It's not my propensity. It's not my nature. You know, my nature is to maybe give lectures and they've asked me to clean the toilet, or, you know, something like that. I'm not really enthusiastic about cleaning the toilet. I'd rather give a Bhagavatam class than clean the toilet, you know. One, that could be a situation. So, what is the proper understanding? In the beginning, you see, actually, Prabhupada does instruct us that the new devotees are guests. He in one letter, he said, college students. He said, engage them in doing what they like to do for Krishna. So that is a beginning principle. Some new devotee, well, what do you like to do? What's your talent? You see, well, I do this. All right, well, here, do that for Krishna. In other words, in the beginning, engage people according to what they like to do, what their nature is. You see, that's the beginning. But in the advanced stage, one can do anything for Krishna. It doesn't matter anymore. It has to be what I'm, you know, inclined to do. What I advise my students is the way to really advance quickly is whatever you don't like to do, volunteer for them. What service would you least like to do, Prabhu? All right, well, you volunteer for that. Well, I don't feel like washing the pots. All right, well, volunteer for that service. Because by doing that, by volunteering for those things you don't like to do, you know what will happen? Gradually, you learn how to like anything. You become completely transcendental. You can do anything for Krishna and relish the bliss. So you want to advance really quickly, whatever you absolutely don't want to do any service but that, volunteer for them. And then by doing that, you're going to really become, you know, a Paramahamsa. You're on the fast track to Paramahamsa. See, a Paramahamsa can do anything for Krishna and relish the nectar. A neophyte, no, I have my conditions. Only this service, Prabhu, not that. That's neophyte. But Paramahamsa are advanced devotee, one who's in the consciousness of a sannyasi, you see. He can do anything for Krishna. Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever the needful is, he's prepared to do it.
Can I ask one question? Prabhupada said that to engage whatever they like to do. So some people, they like to sleep.
Well, that's not service, though. Well, I like to sleep. Actually, it's an interesting story. Prabhupada was very kind. Vishnejan Swami, who this wonderful soul, maybe you heard of Vishnejan Swami. He made me a devotee back in 71. Really an incredible devotee. But he was very, very kind on the new devotees. And he said he was like the temple commander in L.A. before he became a sannyasi. And now he was taking care of the new devotees, taking them under his wing, helping them like that. So he asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what if a new man, all he wants to do is take prasadam? That's the only service he wants to do is take prasadam. Prabhupada was so kind, he said, it's okay if he takes prasadam all day, as long as he chants Hare Krishna between each bite. So in the beginning, we may, you know, facilitate people. All right. But then they have to, you know, they have to advance. They have to realize there's more than just eating prasadam. Someone has to cook it. Somebody has to go out and collect the lakshmi to pay for it. You know, so many things. Someone has to cut the vegetables. Someone has to wash the pots. So one should become a little mature. But in the beginning, we can give all encouragement. Just to whatever you like to do, do it. You see. And then gradually learn how to do anything for Krishna. How can we overcome lust? Well, you have to understand what lust is. And then you can overcome it pretty easy. It's not really overcoming it. It's called reverse engineering, you see. You have to reverse engineer your lust. That's all you have to do. Because lust is nothing but pure love of God in contact with the material modes of nature. That's all it is. When your pure love for God becomes in contact with the material mode of passion, then it transforms into lust. So all you have to do is reverse engineer your lust and turn it back into pure love. So instead of being lusty, you know, for yourself, become lusty for Krishna. In other words, become very greedy for Krishna. Like, just like the Sankirtan marathon. I mean, I'm greedy to distribute as many books as I can for the pleasure of Prabhupada and Krishna. That's using your lust for Krishna. The desire to enjoy, you see, give pleasure to Krishna. Prabhupada even said, I said, quote from the old Chaitanya Charitamrita lectures at 26 Second Avenue. It didn't make it in the Veda base, but I have an original transcript some devotees handed me of those lectures. And Prabhupada, he said, collect all the beautiful girls and give them to Krishna, and he will dance rasa dance with them. So if you're attracted to the women, all right, well, offer all the women to Krishna. You see, and he will enjoy them. Don't you try to enjoy them. You offer them all to Krishna. You see. So in this way, you can take that tendency to enjoy, that lusty tendency, and offer that enjoyment to Krishna. So in this way, you can reverse engineer your lust, come back to pure love of God. Yesterday you mentioned that we should chant throughout the day. However, when I do, I realize that without beat, the chanting is inattentive, which is better, not chanting the day or inattentive chanting. In other words, Baba does advise in one letter to some boys in Japan that they always chant. You know, when you're walking down the street, when you're riding the bus, when you're taking your shower, etc. Always keep that mantra going. So one might think, well, when I chant my rounds, it's fully attentive. But if I chant while I'm taking a shower, it's not really, it's inattentive, so it's an offense, and it's better I just let my mind space out and take the shower. But no, it's better to be halfway absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna and taking the shower than to let your mind space out and take the shower. You see what I'm saying? So if you're a japa, yeah, you got to be fully zeroed in, but if you're taking your shower, obviously you got to think about the soap and the water. You can't just, you know, be oblivious to those things. So when you're chanting and doing other things, there's a different standard when you're chanting on your beads. Different standard. It's like I walked into the bajar room today. I was had the mantra going, and I'm, you know, just doing a little mantra. I walked in, came into the bajar room back here, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Now, you know, I was thinking about the door, how to open it, and so many other things I had to think about. The doors were shut between the kitchen back there. And the, so I had to think about opening the door. And so you may say, well, it's chant attentive chanting. You were thinking about opening the door, and you were chanting Hare Krishna. So that was an offense. You shouldn't have chanted Hare Krishna while you're opening the door. No, not like that. Don't be fanatical. The more you can vibrate Krishna's name while you're doing other things, that's great. Prabhupada said, well, you're doing something with your hands, chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So, but for your 16 rounds, that should be very, very focused, not doing anything else at the time. That's when you have to just be totally locked in and block everything else out when you're chanting your japa. But other times you can vibrate the name doing this and that. It definitely enhances your consciousness. New lady devotees want protection. Anything you'd like to add to that, Devi? Okay. All right. New lady devotees want protection, and they desperately want to get married to a devotee boy to avoid getting married to a parent's choice of a non-devotee. Okay. That's legitimate. We accept that. When she expresses it to the boy, wait a minute, you're not supposed to do that. That's not the Vedic system. You talk to your spiritual master, your temple authorities, you like to get married to this particular boy, don't you approach the boy. That's not the system. When she expresses it to the boy who she wants to marry and the Bharati boy refuses, yeah, you don't approach the boy. That's not the system. That's the Western system. You talk to your authorities. Just like, what is that, Devahuti and Kardama? She wanted to marry, but she told her father. She didn't go up to Kardama Muni sitting in the middle, I'd like to marry you. No. She told her father, and the father arranged it. You see. So you never directly approach the, you know, for the opposite sex member with your desire to marry. You never do that. That's taboo, Prabhu. Don't do that. You go through your authorities, the parents or your guru or the temple authorities. That's how you do it. Now, how will they ever marry? Well, you don't have to marry a particular person. It's not that, you know, oh, Romeo, oh, Juliet. you know what I mean? You don't have to marry a particular person to be happy. I mean, actually, Prabhupada, it's interesting. I'm getting ready for this Grihastha seminar tomorrow. I did some studies about, you know, arranging marriages in ISKCON. And Prabhupada said two things. He said, actually, we want to introduce the system of arranged marriages in ISKCON. But then he also said it's not practical. So he had a desire to do it, but he also saw it wasn't very practical in the Western world. But he wanted to do that because that's the ideal thing. And I've seen, it's like I have one disciple in Austin, Abhay Charan Das. So he was a young, you know, Indian IT worker, single, and he got a phone call from his parents, come on home, son, we got a wife for you, come back and get married. South India. He'd never seen the girl, never had no emails, no photograph, nothing. Just the parents said, okay, we got your wife for you, come back and get married, son. So he did it, happily went back and married the girl. And now she's also my disciple now, fixed up, very wonderful devotee, a wonderful happy marriage, completely without any romance or dating or any of that kind of stuff. Just parents arranged it. And it was a very nice marriage, you see. Very compatible, nice marriage. So this is actually the ideal system. Not that I have to pick out that good-looking Brahmacharini over there. or something like that, you know. Let Krishna arrange. If you have a desire to be married, just approach your authorities and see what Krishna arranges. You can say yes or no. You can just have that desire is okay. That, you know, one that you really feel you'd like to marry, that's all right. But let Krishna make the arrangement. Don't you make the arrangement. And it's very dangerous when you start going off on your own to make your own arrangements, because then Maya can really grab a hold of you. And just, you know, your senses get carried away, and before you know it, you're having illicit sex. And your spiritual, your whole mood of devotional service is completely ruined. I see. But if you go through your authorities, parents, guru, or temple authorities, go through them and do the whole thing in a way which is in accordance with Vedic principles, then you're protected from being carried away by lust, and you can use that desire in a transcendental way according to dharmic principles, and then without being polluted by it, and actually and make advancement through a proper Krishna conscious marriage arrangement. Okay, I'd like to add something to that, JB? Okay. All right. What should a devotee's consciousness or attitude be in service? Thank you, Krishna, for giving me this service, saving me from service to my senses. Thank you, Krishna. There should be an attitude of gratitude to Krishna, to your spiritual master, to the devotee who is directly giving you the service. There should be a very wonderful attitude of gratitude. How to do selfless devotional service without any knowledge and not knowing what it is. Does this mean not knowing what is the meaning of not knowing what is the meaning of selfless devotional service? Actually, one should know. One should understand what is the whole. One should theoretically understand what is selfless devotional service. It's a very important thing to have a proper theoretical understanding, to have that gyan, that proper theoretical understanding of what is unmotivated devotional service without any material motive. It's very important to understand what it is, because you have to cultivate the proper mindset. It's the external activity may be the same between two different devotees, but the advancement that one is making and the advancement the other is making, there may be a humongous gulf of difference because of a different mindset. They're spending the same amount of time doing the same exact activity, that one devotee is advancing rapidly and the other devotee is not going anywhere, even though they're doing the same service. Because of the attitude, the mindset. So it's very important that you set your mind properly. That's the most important thing, no matter what your service is, whether you're in the treasury, you're the Sankirtan department, the deity department, those things are secondary. The department you're in, whether you're a brahmacharya, a householder, these are all secondary considerations. The most important thing is you have the proper mindset to understand what is the mood of pure devotional service, and you're cultivating it every minute in everything you do, in all times, places, and circumstances. So, anything you wanted to add? Okay. Any other questions? Okay. We got 5 minutes. I struggle to read Prabhupada's books and to chant without falling asleep. How can I overcome this? I know one devotee, he really liked to read, but he'd always fall asleep, so he used to read standing up. He'd see him, he would just stand up and read, and that way he wouldn't fall asleep. When we get facility for expanding this movement, how do we know that we are not what the facility?
Misusing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is why we need guru. This is why we need temple authorities. This is why we need department heads, etc. So that, because the fact is, you know, I have a hard time seeing my own faults, but I can easily see your fault. You see what I'm saying? I can really see your faults, but boy, I sure can't see mine. So take advantage of devotee association, because you can see my faults better than I can see my faults. And I can see your faults better than you can see your faults. So we need each other. Take advantage of devotee association and be very eager to have other devotees point out your faults. Oh, no, what do you mean, my faults? You see? Not like that. We have to say, okay, I got to get a little sober here. I'm not actually a paramahamsa. Here I'm a struggling neophyte. I got to really kind of come to an honest platform and realize I got so many faults. And if you can show me some of my faults, hey, I'm great and grateful to you, Prabhu. If you can point out my faults, I'm eternally indebted to you. I remember one devotee in Juhu Temple, he said, if there is a devotee who's finding fault with you, move in with him. You should find out the devotee who's finding fault with you, become his roommate. You see? That devotee is the devotee I want as my roommate. Because he always points out my faults. You see that? So that's how you do it. You see yourself through the eyes of the other devotees, and then you get a better, a more realistic picture of where you really are, whether you're properly using or misusing the facilities that Krishna has given. Is preaching add something to them? Okay. Is practicing gratitude for what devotional service has brought to your life a good way to increase your devotional service? Is practicing gratitude? Oh, yes. I just think about, you know, it's amazing to me when I think about how much I've been blessed by Prabhupada, by Prabhupada's disciples, by all the devotees, the grand disciples, so many people. I mean, I feel so blessed. I feel so fortunate. I still think back to Vishnu Janaswami and how he made me a devotee, and I just feel, every time I think about him, I just become very, very, my heart becomes very soft, and I just become feeling very grateful. How he was so kind to me, even though I was really a wild, you know, puffed up character. So yeah, that gratitude is very important. How you develop deeper connection with the super soul and also take directions from within. It's very simple. Whatever orders your spiritual master gives you, you accept those as your life and soul. Your spiritual master is the external manifestation of the super soul. So you take the orders the spiritual master gives as your very life and soul. To whatever extent you've actually surrendered fully to your spiritual master, to that extent you will also be connected with the spiritual master within, the Chaitya Guru within your heart. Guru within and guru without, they run on parallel tracks. We talk about parallel lines of authority. There's another parallel lines of authority. The Chaitya Guru and the external guru. I see. The more you connect with your external guru, the more you connect with your internal guru automatically. It's heard devotees connect to the super soul, know others well, and how to engage them or how to give them books, etc. Yeah, sure. The more you're in tune with the super soul, the more you develop an amazing intuitive ability to actually understand how to deal with any situation in the perfect Krishna conscious way. That's the thing. How can one develop more personal relationship with the deities in the temple in the beginning stage and also after a few years of service? Think, how can I please Shishi Radha Gopina? How can my every thought be pleasing to them? How can every word coming out of my mouth be pleasing to them? Can I volunteer some service? Can I make garlands? Can I clean their deity plates? You know, how can I become qualified to be a Brahmin? So I can go on the... Do you have the Brahmin standard here? Only Brahmins on the altar? Thank God. Some temples are really deviated from our Prabhupada's instructions. They have non-Brahmins on the altar, non-Brahmins cooking. Yeah, so how can I become qualified to become a Brahmin as soon as possible so I can do arati? I remember we had Sri Sri Gaurinatayi deities and we followed Prabhupada's standard as everyone used to do, only Brahmins on the altar. So finally, after many years, I got my Brahmin thread. For some reason, my temple president just was holding off from recommending me. But finally, Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, you should recommend him for Brahmin initiation. So immediately he did. So I remember that first arati I did. Wow, it was like the most mystical, amazing experience to go on the altar, offer that arati to Sri Sri Gaurinatayi. It was like, wow. It was really, really something special. And one of my disciples, Ravindra Das Brahmachari, and the Bhaktivedanta Manor, I just gave him second initiation. And he wanted and had a desire to deity worship, so he got second. They gave him second initiation recommendation. He wrote me back how he was totally in bliss going on the altar and doing deity worship. Prabhupada actually said in his last days in Vrindavan, he said, there is no one more fortunate than Pujari of the deity. Because actually you're directly associating with God. Is that a statue? No. That is Krishna himself. Krishna himself has come. But we're so dull, we think it's a statue. Yeah, it's a nice statue of Krishna there. Beat your mind with shoes and beat your mind with a broomstick. That is Krishna himself, and he has come. Krishna has personally come. He's smiling at you right now. See? Look. He's smiling at you. You see? He's blessing you with his transcendental smile right now. He's smiling at every one of us. And he's blessing us with his mercy. So you have to realize this is Krishna himself. He has come. And you can only become Krishna conscious to the extent that you realize that Krishna is personally present in the form of the deity. You can't go anywhere beyond that. If you have a material vision of the deity, you will remain a materialist. I don't care how much chanting you do, how much service you do. If you have maintained a material vision of the deity, you remain a materialist. So cultivate a spiritual vision of the deity. Very important thing. I'll sneak it in, but I'm actually 5 minutes over time. Oh, there's two of them coming. Oh, my God. All right, I'll let these two in, and that's it, no more. I see one here and one here, so I'll accept these last two questions. Some temple authorities get really down on me if I go overtime, so I've got to be careful. I don't want to be banned from Sydney for being a rebel. What is material vision? Material vision is to see the deity is simply made of stone. It's not Krishna himself. That's material vision. Okay, any other question? Oh, you're just taking some notes. Okay, good.
I have a question.
Yeah?
Why do we have to have Brahman initiation to do personal deity worship?
Why do you have to have Brahman initiation?
Yeah, what is the importance? Why
Brahman initiation? Why? Well, the first thing is the Prabhupada's order. It's not in a letter, which you could say is just a relative. It's in his books. It's codified right there in the Bhagavatam purport that we only allow second initiated devotees on the altar and in the kitchen. Of course, you can assist in the kitchen, but the actual cooking, you see. Why that standard? You can ask Prabhupada when you meet him. So Prabhupada, why that standard? I can't really say why Prabhupada said that standard. I mean, my wife probably could. She's good at answering these kind of questions.
One reason is that when one comes to the Brahmin platform, they know cleanliness, which is very important. One has to be pure to go to something which is pure. That's the one thing. Otherwise, we are messy and dirty. That's another one thing, and then you have to say something.
So Krishna Rupa has something.
I would just add that if you are allowed to go on the altar before your Brahmin initiation, you take it too cheaply. Like if someone can just 2 weeks after joining up, go and do an arati, it's too cheap, it's to increase our mood of that this is Krishna, that we have to have some qualification to be with him.
What is her question, Devi?
No, she is giving the point of why when she go up to the second initiation, that the neophyte will come and after 2 weeks they want to go and they can go on the altar if they are allowed to go.
So you're saying we should allow the first initiates?
No.
She's saying it will be taken very cheaply.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with you completely. In some temples, it's so bad they have uninitiated devotees doing the deity worship. It's because our standard has gone so low that the deity worship ministry gave a big report a couple of years ago to the annual GBC meeting about the pathetic state of deity worship in ISKCON right now. So I'm very happy you have a proper standard here. I'm just fully... Thank God it's some place where they're following the rules that Prabhupada gave. Yeah, it's a fact. It's something you have to work for and earn the privilege. Because it's not easy to see the deity as Krishna himself. So that's why, that's another reason. If you say that someone go on the altar, has not really cultivated at least a deep philosophical understanding the deity, deity is Krishna himself. They shouldn't be, they should never be on the altar, you see. A Brahman means at least he has a solid, or she has a solid philosophical understanding that this is actually Krishna himself, you see. So there are very good reasons for this, only allowing mature devotees on the altar. Because otherwise there'll be so many offenses. But these deities especially, these were installed by Prabhupada. These deities are very, very, in all of ISKCON, these are the, there's some deities in ISKCON that are very, very special. They're personally installed by Prabhupada. You're very fortunate you have these deities here. These are very special deities in the whole ISKCON. They're very, very, incredibly beautiful, incredibly sweet, incredibly merciful deities. Amazing, amazing. I remember I was standing with Prabhupada. I would stand on the right side of the Vyasasana when you get close to him, because that's the only chance I got during the classes, you know. I would get right up there on the right side of Prabhupada in the Vyasasana when he was in Atlanta. And Prabhupada looked down, and I was standing by Prabhupada, and Prabhupada looked down. There was a big Garnetai deities there in Atlanta in the center of the altar at that time. Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have appeared in Atlanta. And I was looking at Prabhupada, looking at them, and I was realizing he was actually seeing Lord Chaitanya. I'm seeing statues, and Prabhupada is seeing Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So we really have to, you know, learn how to see that this is Krishna himself. And I guarantee you, when you can actually see that this is Krishna himself, at that point you'll be able to see Krishna everywhere. So it's really worth it. If you'd like to be able to see Krishna everywhere, then learn how to see Krishna, that he's fully present in the form of the deity. And this is him. He's right here, right now, the living, breathing Krishna. And I'll wrap it up with one story. A devotee named in Chaitanya Leela, Gauridas Pandit. He had Gornatai deities in his house. He also had an amazing good fortune. Guess who came for lunch to his house? Shishi Gornatai came to lunch for his house. So, as they are leaving after the lunch, they said, "My dear lords, I cannot tolerate your separation, so please remain in my house." He said, "What do you mean? Can't you see we're staying on the altar? We're on the..." He said, "But no, those are deities. I want you personally to stay in my home." I said, "Okay." So Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, they walked up on the altar. They became deities, and the deities came off the altar and were walking out of the house. And then Gauridas Pandit said, "My dear Lord, please, please stay. Don't leave me. Please stay here. I cannot tolerate your separation." He said, "Don't you see we're on the altar?" He said, "But no, those are deities. I want you to stay here." He said, "Okay." So they went back on the altar, and then the other Gornetai came off the altar, and this way back and forth, he completely lost track of which were the original deities. So in this way, we have to understand, and of course there's the story of Sakshi Gopala as well, we have to understand this, that Krishna himself has come. Krishna himself has come. So that's it. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Guntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Yeah. Yeah.